Good morning to you. Good morning. How are you? Sunday morning, the 19th of March 2017. Thanks for joining me. This is Sunday View with myself, Richie Allen. Hope you're in good form and you've enjoyed the weekend so far. It's a wet and windy one. It's a wet and windy one in Manchester. But other than that, spirits are high. Lots to tell you about over the course of the next 45 minutes or thereabouts. As usual, you can interact with this programme. It is live, unless you're listening to the repeat, of course. It's live on davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2 and TuneIn Radio. You can interact with me by simply tweeting me. It's at Richie Allen Show.
For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com.
Yeah, the great city, but a very wet and windy city today. As I speak with you, the terrific, the outstanding, the amazing David Icke is or has been on stage in Slovenia for a couple of hours now already, I reckon. It would be a couple of hours. David is in Slovenia. He's been there all week, and a packed audience filed into a wonderful arena this morning to watch David there and to hear and see the Worldwide Wake Up Tour 2017. Wonderful stuff. Some really funny pictures on David's Facebook page of him standing at the end of a ski jump. Lovely pictures by lovely lakes. Must be a beautiful place, Slovenia. I've never been there. David is there today, and I'm sure those in attendance will never forget it as long as they live. It's only just begun as well. After 2 hours, he's only getting warmed up. So good stuff. I thought I'd mention that. Sunday View, of course, is brought to you in association with davidicke.com. And I recommend you bookmark the headlines page on davidicke.com. What I do on this program every Sunday is have a look at what the broadsheet newspapers, predominantly the broadsheet newspapers, are saying here in the UK about whatever it is they're saying. So it could be anything. And that's what we're going to do today in this episode of Sunday View. Thanks for joining me, by the way. And good morning to those of you listening live right now and interacting with me. Good morning, Paul Sweeney, Bass Ninja, Spirit Samba. The usual old Sunday morning crew are tweeting. Good morning, Anne in Cheltenham, and to David Kona as well, who tweeted me a rather disgusting picture of what looks like a quarter pounder with cheese. A Royale with cheese, if I remember my Pulp Fiction well. It's been a long, long time since either I or the future Mrs. Allen set foot inside any fast food establishment like that. McDonald's is poison. It's devastatingly bad for your health. And there are so many other things wrong with McDonald's, I'm not going to get into it. But not just them, all the rest of them as well. Burger King, KFC, garbage. Don't put that garbage in your body if you can help it. I mean, really. I remember a few weeks ago, I was in Manchester City Centre, and a young gentleman who, obviously not having a good time of things, said to me he was hungry, and could I get him something to eat? And I said, of course, yeah, what do you want? And he said McDonald's. And I said, well, can we get you something a bit healthier than McDonald's? And he laughed, and we ended up getting him something more healthy than McDonald's. So yeah, there's obviously a story about McDonald's. They're claiming to have a healthy burger. They don't. It's garbage. Right, let's crack on with today's Sunday View then. And let's begin by looking at the Sunday Times, Rupert Murdoch. Now the headline's a very serious headline on the Sunday Times today. It says, rape victims to be spared court ordeal. The story is that rape survivors will be spared the ordeal of giving evidence in court. They will get to pre-record their cross-examination. These are new reforms being brought forward by the British Justice Secretary, I should say the UK Justice Secretary, Elizabeth Truss, Liz Truss. So rape survivors will be able to pre-record their cross-examination, not have to do it in open court. This is going to begin in September. It wasn't due to begin until 2018, but it's been brought forward. Everybody seems to be in agreement with this. Judges, those who work closely with the victims of rape and sexual crimes, victims themselves, and even prosecutors are saying, okay, we understand why this has been brought forward. Liz Truss has said, and I quote, "With more victims coming forward and having the confidence to come forward, I am determined to make their path to justice swifter and less traumatic. This will not reduce the right to a fair trial, but it will make sure victims of these crimes are protected and able to provide their best possible evidence." I kind of agree with that. Although I was thinking today, I'd love to get your opinion on it. If I was wrongly accused of rape, and it would have to be wrongly, if I was accused of rape, maybe I wouldn't be so happy with that ruling. Maybe I would want the jury to see the whites of the woman's eyes, the woman who has wrongly accused me. Now, I know things aren't in black and white. Maybe that woman may, or that man may, have made a accusation based on a misunderstanding, or they might have given their evidence in good faith. They might not be lying, but you've been wrongly identified. I don't know, maybe if I was innocent and if I was accused, maybe I'd like to see the accuser who is wrongly accusing me in open court, where the jury can see the whites of her eyes or his eyes. What do you think? Listen, obviously, I've never understood, and please God, I never will understand what it's like to be the victim of such a crime, and maybe I'd think differently. I'm not saying I think like that, I'm just putting it out there. I'm just putting it out there. Right, now, moving on. We'll leave that one for now. Maybe that might come up in a future conversation with a lawyer, a barrister maybe. The Sunday Express, the headline is "Defiant. Royals stay calm amid gun terror in Paris." So the Sunday Express is commenting on the fact that the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge were in Paris at the same time a man was shot dead at Orly Airport when he allegedly tried to grab a soldier's gun. The paper says the couple continued with their program defiantly in the spirit of keep calm and carry on. This is the sort of ludicrous, sickening, vomit-inducing, boil-swallowing garbage the papers sometimes do about the royal family. They're heroes. They carried on in their incredibly high-paid and privileged jobs with the sort of security detail that is impenetrable even to the greatest and the most determined terrorists in the world. They carried on in the spirit of defiance against terrorism. Utter garbage. Right, so what's going on? Leave the royals out of it. What's going on is a man was shot dead at Orly Airport when he snatched a gun from a female soldier and held her hostage. This is after hijacking a car and attacking the police. He is alleged to have said, "I am here to die for Allah. There will be deaths." And he threw down a bag containing a can of petrol. That's it. Now that's according to the Paris prosecutor's office, right? That's what they're saying. They are saying he was on a terror watch list. He had been radicalized and he was gunned down by two other soldiers. Moments after, he pointed a pistol at the soldier's head. He was gunned down. Now, earlier, he is alleged to have fired at three police with a pellet gun. With a pellet gun. Wounding one in the face when he was stopped at a checkpoint north of Paris. He was on probation. This is the official story now. There are no holes in it, right? He was on probation. He escaped. He then stole a car at gunpoint, presumably the pellet gun, from a woman in South Paris. That car was later found close to Orly Airport. He entered the South Terminal, approached the military patrol, grabbed a gun from a female officer. That's what they want you to believe. Now, the Paris prosecutor, Francoise Moline, said the attacker, a Frenchman named Zied Ben Belgesem, wanted to use the soldier's rifle to shoot people. It's either a handgun or a rifle. They can't figure it out. Two other patrolmen opened fire, and the rest is history. It's very hard to know what to believe. You know, we say this all the time when these weird incidences happen, like the one at the Louvre Museum a couple of weeks ago as well, bizarre incident. A radicalised man running at a group of heavily armed soldiers with a machete. It's hard to know what to believe. And of course, this, in the same week, a kid walked into a school with a rifle, two handguns and two grenades. No questions. Dear listener, there are no questions. Shall we take a little trip down the ABCs of media production? Because at one time in my checkered career, I used to teach would-be budding young journalists how to make radio programmes. 5 W's and the H. Who, what, why, where, when and how. Seems that the mainstream media has abandoned the principle of the 5 W's and the H. Who, what, why, where, when and how. Let's look at how. How does a child get a rifle, two handguns and two grenades? How does a man walk up to a military patrol in an airport and disarm a female soldier? How does he manage to do that? How was he able to shoot and wound police officers with a pellet gun and not be pursued by every fecking police car in the whole of France? After he was stopped at a checkpoint, he fired 3 pellets out of a pellet gun and sped off, but he was able to get to the airport. You see, the tragedy is, again, we're back to the MSM. Nobody is asking these questions. Nobody! Because if a presenter or a journalist who is on location on behalf of Sky or the BBC, if they put their hand up, Monsieur, please, Richie Allen from the BBC, explain to me, sir, how the man was able to evade a checkpoint. The French police are armed to the teeth. He fired pellets at police officers. How was he able to then get away and go to the airport? Pull the other one, Monsieur. But no. Do you know why that doesn't happen? Because that journalist's career is over. You must swallow this crap and regurgitate it. Swallow, regurgitate it. It's springtime, isn't it? We're going to see a lot of that. Birds flying around, feeding their young, regurgitating. This is what we get. Yeah. Yeah, at the Louvre Museum, a guy ran up with a machete, got shot to death. Did no damage. World's worst terrorist ever. No questions. His father is saying, no way. What an impotent media we have. You know what I think it's all about? That old pervasive sense of fear in the populace. And accepting the new norm. And in Paris, as the new normal is the army on the streets. My future wife, as I mentioned on this programme not so long ago, was in Paris on behalf of her company. Couldn't believe everywhere soldiers armed to the teeth with the latest and greatest in hardware, software and probably menswear. They've got it all. Nobody's asking any questions. Martial law is a regular thing. You know what's interesting? In these recent attacks, the one yesterday, the one at the Louvre Museum, this is fascinating stuff. There is still, I said this when David Icke was on the show a few weeks ago, both of us agreed with this. Within the tyrannical mainstream media, there are pockets of good journalists still doing their job while they're allowed to. Listen to this. What's really interesting about these attacks is that these attacks tend to come a day or two after the French government said it was going to lift the state of emergency. This is true. Listen to Maria Finocchina, or Finocchina. Now, who is Maria Finocchina? Maria Finocchina is a she's a journalist with RT, and she's on the money. Listen to this.
France has been suffering from terrorism a lot. The deadliest event happened in November 2015 in what is known now as Paris attacks. 130 people were killed, and later Islamic State ISIL took responsibility for these incidents, and that was shock not only for France, but for the entire Europe, for the entire world. And since then, the state of emergency has been enforced in France. In July 2016, another deadly event in Nice when more than 80 people were killed, and it was clear for the authorities that it is not ready for the country to lift the state of emergency. And just this Wednesday, we heard from France's justice minister that they are considering seriously to lift the state of emergency. And next day, two other incidents happened. There was a situation with a shooting in student camp, and there was an explosion at the IMF office in Paris when an employee opened a letter and there was an explosion. So it's clearer right now that no matter what the authorities are saying, they're not quite able to control the situation so far.
You heard that right. There's no need for me to play that again. You heard it loud and clear. When it has been suggested that the state of emergency can be lifted, something happens. And the something that is happening is pathetic. Easy to manage, easy to set up. Idiot running into an airport, armed with nothing. He must have thrown away his pellet gun. Muppet running up to guards outside the Louvre with a machete. Marvellous. Kid walking into a schoolroom with guns and grenades. All very simple. Easy to manage, easy to set up. All of these things happening a couple of days after somebody says, tell you what, let's lift the state of emergency. Let's not. And it seems, by the way, like Britain, like the UK, there is a suspicious lack of investment in the French police. Now think about that. At a time when France is allegedly the terror capital of the world, right? Right? Not enough police. Underfunded. Listen to Luc Rivet. Who's Luc? Luc is the editor of The People magazine. French police just don't have the resources.
France has something like 10,000 people who are considered dangerous, and among them a few thousands who are very dangerous. They don't have enough police to supervise, to follow these people. For example, the guy who this morning tried to steal the gun from this military at the Orly airport, they followed him for some time, but then they abandoned, probably because they don't have enough forces to follow everybody. So it's a real issue in France, and it's going to play, of course, in the hands of Marine Le Pen, probably, in the coming elections. So it's really very difficult for the French authorities, but they must crack on these now.
Yes, Marine Le Pen might see a bump. She was quick to say that although France is under the imposition of a state of emergency, nothing is being done to stop the radical Islamists. That's the Marine Le Pen par for the course statement. But again, underfunding, under-resourcing of the police, taking the lifeblood away from the police at the same time you are telling people terrorist attacks are imminent. It's the same here. Why is that? To get the army on the streets. It's about martial law. It's about normalising armed to the teeth military personnel standing on your street corners a few yards away from tanks. Yeah, there was a time, you know, there actually was a time in my mainstream media days when I thought that people saying the things I'm saying now were lunatic conspiracy theorists. It's happening here, destroying the police here for two reasons: to introduce the military onto our streets, but also to privatise whatever's left of the police eventually. It is a psychological operation, I believe. Now, Republican lawmakers on Capitol Hill, they're looking to start a new official war against Islamic State, known as the Authorization for Use of Military Force, AUMF. Now, the US has been fighting the Islamic State in a few countries, allegedly. They've been doing that through a so-called advise and assist capacity. This might be leaving them open for, well, it won't be because they're not signed up to the International Criminal Court anyway, but it leaves them open for criticism and to the accusation of violating the sovereign borders of sovereign countries. So they want to get a new law to authorise and make it official that they are against, excuse me, that they are at war with Islamic State. Now, Jim Jutras is a former diplomat and he is a Republican advisor on foreign policy. Jim Jutras.
The reason this AUMF may be quite significant is that the old one from 2001, mm-hmm. from 9/11, President Bush and even more so President Obama drove a truck through that thing. That they used it for any time they wanted to use force. Oh, this has to do with 9/11, and clearly it doesn't.
Like a carte blanche, right? Like
it was a carte blanche, and a real abdication of congressional authority. If you look at this AUMF, it's very narrowly focused on ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and associated groups. Interestingly enough, the very same groups that Tulsi Gabbard and Rand Paul's bill mm-hmm. to stop sending weapons to terrorists, a very necessary bill in my opinion, also target. So, and also it would not allow military action against the Assad government, which President Obama repeatedly threatened.
You're saying it would prohibit
it would
that?
Wouldn't prohibit it. It doesn't grant it. In other words, it could the president still do something beyond his legal authority? Yes. In terms of what this authorization would allow the president to do, it's narrowly focused on the real terrorists.
Richie, it's a Sunday morning. Help me out here. All right, I'll help you out. I've been up since six. What this is effectively is it's the US saying that wherever ISIS is operating, we can preemptively act in those countries and say we are at war with Islamic State. We're not at war with you, Jordan, or with you, Nigeria, or with you, Sierra Leone, or with you, Yemen, or wherever. We're not at war with you. We're at war with ISIS. Therefore, we can come in and do what we want, and we'll just be after ISIS. And a lot of this is down to the fact that Bashar al-Assad has been saying to anybody who will listen of late that the US has committed war crimes inside Syria and violated Syria's sovereignty under international law. So by the US saying, well, right, this is what we're going to do now. We're going to start a new official war against Islamic State. Nobody can bitch if we rock up to Galway, Northampton. I know you're laughing. It's ridiculous, Richie. It's ludicrous. But I'm not talking about the US Army rocking up to Galway or to Northampton, but agents of those governments, of that government, going into countries and killing people and alleging those people were being radicalised. And only RT is covering this stuff, sadly. Only RT, with an audience. I'm talking about organisations with sizable audiences. The only organisation with a sizable audience to touch this stuff is RT. And to be absolutely fair, and to be absolutely objective, of course they have their agenda as well. But on this one they're right. 23 minutes past the hour. Sunday View with me, Richie Allen. Loads more to come after these.
Do not invest another pound of your money until you've heard this message. Jim Rickards here, best-selling author of Currency Wars and The Death of Money. But today I'm urging you to claim a free copy of my new best-selling book. Visit newcaseforgold.co.uk for full details. Inside, I reveal why gold could soar to $10,000 an ounce and how to make sure you own enough of the right type of gold. To get your copy dispatched today, go to newcaseforgold.co.uk now. This book will change everything you think you know about investing in gold. Visit newcaseforgold.co.uk today.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
Looking to arrange a mortgage? Confused by all the deals available? Let Manchester Mortgages do the work for you. Take advantage of our free mortgage review offer throughout February and March and see if we can save you money. We are whole of market brokers with access to hundreds of mortgage schemes across the UK. Call us on 0161 706 0242 or go to manchestermortgages.co.uk. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage. Manchester Mortgages are a trading style of mortgages for you, North West Limited, who are authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbajerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Virtually every transaction that involves a child is valuable to somebody.
We intend to show everyone the real reason children are being removed at an alarming rate.
No, this is awful.
The baby's not being seen by the doctor or nothing.
They are psychopathic.
They have got the legal right to kill children now, because that's what they're doing.
Traffic 2, available now at premilonpictures.co.uk.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.
While giving you the alternative version of events anyway, this is Sunday View on DavidIke.com, Fab Radio 2, TuneIn Radio and RichieAllen.co.uk. Before we move on to a couple of really big stories in today's newspapers, I want to say a massive thank you to two people, Mark Bajerski and Scott Cornish, for their support of, their ongoing support of this radio programme. You'll know Mark from coming on the programme regularly. Check out his website, markbajerski.com. Mark's a healer of hearts, an energy healer, a spiritualist, and a lovely, lovely guy. And from time to time, he auctions things, and one of beautiful things, whether it's healing crystals or paintings, and donates the money to this programme. It really is wonderful, and I want to thank him for that again. And to Scott Cornish, whom I've gotten to know as well, quite well over the last year or so. Scott's a healer, and he purchased a wonderful mural, how would you call it? Like a representation of Buddha. Wonderful thing, and they raised £400 for the programme, which is no small amount of money, and it's a massive help to us at the show here. It really is. So big thanks to Mark and to Scott Cornish as well. Can't say enough about people like that. Thank you, guys. Now, the Sunday Telegraph headline is pregnancy drug linked to birth defects. This is massive story. Sky News are running with this all day. It's their story, I think. I'm pretty sure it's their story and their investigation. Remember what I said about decent journalists working even within the horrible, dreadful, incestuous media? There are still some good journalists in there. The Sunday Telegraph, pregnancy drug linked to birth defects. There are new documents that might prove a causal link between a pregnancy testing drug and birth defects. Campaigners have been battling for compensation over claims that hormone-based drug Primidos led to serious health problems for children in the 1960s and 1970s. The hormone-based drug Primidos led to serious health problems for children in the 1960s and 1970s. Documents from the Berlin National Archives are horrifying because they reveal what looks like a massive cover-up that this was known about, but information showing this was buried, leading to untold misery for many mothers and families. Listen to this report from Sky News today.
Well, now our correspondent Jason Farrell has found that evidence which suggested women who took the drug had a 1 in 5 chance of giving birth to a deformed child was destroyed to prevent claims from victims.
Why? Really? What's what we want to know? Why? the likes of me and other mums have suffered. Babies have suffered. Babies have died, babies have been deformed, babies have had no life.
Doesn't sound like the kind of thing that you would, in current day, give to a pregnant woman.
No, not at all. This is a very high dose of a progestogen, which is progesterone-based. From the stuff we've seen with the fish, it's doing something to the embryo, if you add it directly. This is a fish, so we have to be careful how you extrapolate that to a human, but the potential is there, and I personally would like to see more research done.
Well, Jason's in the studio for us now. Look, it just seems extraordinary, the more detail is uncovered here, that this has just, in effect, been swept under the carpet.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a few things there from what you just heard. That was Neil Vargason, who was a scientist who'd done some new research, the first research in decades, in fact, where he's tested this product on fish, and he's found that it causes all sorts of deformities. And the embryo of a fish in early development is similar to the embryo of a human. And one of the issues that the drug companies always said, well, you know, this drug hasn't been tested for so many years, there's really no new tests to suggest that there are evidence that it did cause deformities. Well, this is the first one in quite some time. But the other thing that we've discovered is deep in the archives in Berlin, in the National Archives, there's 7,000 documents on Primados that haven't been seen for decades. And in amongst those files, there is a report on Primados, an internal report within the company. And they were contacted by the British regulator. And the British regulator told them that there was a 5-to-1 risk of women who had taken this drug of having deformities. Now, this 5-to-1 risk was never made public. And the files show that the regulator actually destroyed his own evidence. And not only that, he actually admits that the reason he's done that is he doesn't want legal challenges being taken up against the company.
You heard that, right? I mean, I'm going to leave that. I'm not going to spend much more time on that. It's a horrific story. It is horrific. It is horrific to think that people could bury information knowing that the burying of that information was going to lead to horror, misery, and absolute... I can't even find the adjective to describe what it must have been like or what it is like when a mum gives birth to a baby and the baby has got a congenital problem or what appears to be, you know, a problem, a deformity or something like that. And they knew that there was a 1 in 5 chance of serious problems and they buried this drug and the research that said mums should not be taking it. Imagine it. Just imagine that for a minute. You know what I was thinking about today? The first thing that came to mind, we featured regularly on this programme mothers from a group called regret.ie in the Republic of Ireland. The mothers of hundreds and hundreds of girls who are experiencing horrendous symptoms and debilitating illnesses having taken Gardasil, the vaccine for human papillomavirus, the vaccine that will allegedly prevent girls getting cervical cancer. And I'm of the belief, and I have no proof of this, I am of the belief that the people who developed Gardasil are well aware through their initial testing of it. Do you know where they test these drugs, these bastards, these pharmaceutical companies? Do you know where they test these drugs? They test them in third world countries and give $50, $60, $40 a time to people who've got absolutely nothing. That's what they do. It's where they test abortion drugs. We'll come to abortion in a minute, by the way. They know damn well what the risks are. They know. We know about Thompson at the CDC burying the studies. Just look up Andrew Wakefield. Look up Vax the movie. Burying the studies that suggested that African-American boys might be susceptible to autism having taken the MMR jab. That's what these mindless psychopaths do. They bury evidence. And Gardasil is going to be the biggest story in the world, whether it's this year, 2018, 2019, because those families and those women are not going anywhere. Sickening story today on Sky News. This is Sunday View with me, Richie Allen. Good to have your company, by the way. Let's move on to the Sunday Mail. Again, serious and disturbing story on the front page of the Sunday Mail. The headline is this: Let Mothers Abort Babies of Wrong Sex. Let mothers abort babies of wrong sex. Women should be able to have abortions simply because their unborn child is the wrong sex. Says who? Says a leading ethics expert at the British Medical Association. In a provocative interview with the Mail on Sunday, Professor Wendy Savage called for the law banning such terminations to be scrapped. But pro-life campaigners immediately slammed her demands as utterly abhorrent. Now, her comments will cause shockwaves, as Professor Savage is an influential member of the British Medical Association's 18-strong Medical Ethics Committee. She also courts controversy today by saying women should be able to abort at any stage of pregnancy, even when the unborn child is developed enough to survive outside the womb. She also said abortion pills should be available to women online without the need to see a doctor or a nurse. These comments came amid concerns that British parents are seeking abortions based on the gender of babies, which has led to some hospitals in the UK refusing to tell parents to be that information. Savage said, Professor Savage, not telling parents the sex of their babies was outrageous. Fears that British women are undergoing abortions based on the gender of their babies have grown since a 2014 study found that Britain had up to 4,700 fewer girls than would be statistically expected. And undercover journalists have secretly filmed doctors appearing to agree to carry out abortions for reasons of gender alone. This led to the Department of Health to issue new guidance clarifying the law, which stated abortion on the grounds of gender alone is illegal. And it is. It was rubber stamped by the UK Parliament in 2014. So I look at people like Professor Wendy Savage, and I don't know her from the man in the street. I've never met her. I've never interviewed her. But she's sick and twisted, isn't she? And she's a former gynaecologist. She has a license to practice medicine. She should be struck off, right? Shouldn't she? I mean, I did a bit of digging on this, a bit of research. And I found this morning that the Sunday Mail is 6 years late to the party on this issue. Wendy Savage has been okay with abortion for reasons of gender alone for quite a while. Here is Wendy Savage speaking to an Australian radio show back in 2011.
Do you think women should be allowed to abort children because they wanted to a boy instead of a girl?
I think that's a difficult one, but I think that if a woman feels that she really doesn't want a girl or a boy, as the case might be, what sort of mother is she going to be? And I don't think she should be forced to go on with that pregnancy, even though it doesn't seem like a good reason. I know that amongst certain communities there is a tendency to want male children, and one of my colleagues who wasn't at all pro-choice got into the difficult stage where a couple came, they'd had four girls, they wanted a boy, and he said, all right, you can have a test, and it turned out to be a girl, and you know, it was 18 weeks or something, and having said he would do it, he did it. But I think you can only look at India to see the effect of that kind of pressure, where the ratio of male fetuses to male babies to female babies is quite distorted.
Right, yeah. I mean, you know, that speaks for itself there. Yeah, it's okay to abort based on gender alone. You should check out, if you've not read any of David's books before, check out The Phantom Self. It's Phantom Self and how to find the real one, or the perception deception. David talks in his books, and he talks during the live talks about a guy called Richard Day, who back in 1969 predicted pretty much all of what we see now. Day was a Rockefeller and Zionist insider. He was a professor of pediatrics at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York and executive of the Rockefeller-controlled Planned Parenthood, which began in the eugenics movement and was exposed in 2015 for selling fetus body parts. I'm reading now directly from Phantom Self. And they talked at length in 1969 about population control, permission to have babies was going to be on the future agenda, redirecting the purpose of sex. So sex without reproduction would be promoted, and reproduction without sex, contraception universally available, sex education, and canalising, which is genetic manipulation of youth, tax-funded abortion as part of the population control agenda. It's really fascinating that Richard Day, and anybody who's seen David on the Worldwide Wake Up Tour will remember the section of the talk when he talks about this guy Day, who he was, who he was connected to, and how he laid all of this out there. And interestingly enough, the Canadian PM, is it Justin Trudeau? It is Justin Trudeau, right? I did have a clip, but the audio of the clip was too bad for me to play with you. But Trudeau, if you, he is the Canadian Prime Minister, if you go to YouTube and you put Trudeau and gender, just put Trudeau, gender and abortion in, and you'll get a couple of clips, and one of them is where Trudeau is repeatedly challenged by a member of the press to acknowledge that he is in favour of a woman choosing to have an abortion for any reason whatsoever, including the reason of, well, I didn't want a girl, I wanted a boy, or vice versa. Now, I couldn't get that clip and tidy it up today in order to play it for you. And then it might have been seen to have been picking on Trudeau. But this is the agenda. This is the agenda. And the Sunday Mail is running with this today, like it's a big deal. This is not news. For a long time now, these people have been saying, yes, it's okay. If you want to abort because you wanted a black-haired girl and you didn't want a auburn-haired girl, that's okay. That's what these people think. And the rationale for it is, oh, well, isn't it better that we abort rather than we have a mother bringing up a baby that she doesn't want because that baby has brown hair instead of blonde? It's madness. I mean, it is utter madness, isn't it? 17 and a half minutes to the top of the year. I'm going to leave that one there. Sunday Telegraph today, not on the front page, but a story inside it. Police wind up Sir Edward Heath's sex abuse probe. This is the gist of it. The £1 million police investigation into allegations that Sir Edward Heath was a paedophile is being wound up amid claims it has found no evidence to justify tarnishing the former Prime Minister's reputation. Private investigators hired by police to help conduct the inquiry have been told contracts are not being renewed. The inquiry, codenamed Operation Conifer, will be closed in the coming weeks, but the report on its findings will remain confidential. Alarm bells. Alarm bells. We'll close it down, but the report on what it's found thus far will remain confidential. The Sunday Telegraph writes, friends of Sir Edward Heath insisted the Wiltshire Police inquiry had found no evidence to implicate the Conservative politician. They said the nature of questions put to former members of staff and sailing colleagues were so lacking in detail that it suggested an absence of hard evidence. This investigation began in 2015 in August when Superintendent Sean Memory stood outside Edward Heath's home in Salisbury and launched an appeal for victims to come forward. He is now on long-term sick leave. Alarm bells again. He's on long-term sick leave, is he? Why is that? Lord Armstrong, the former cabinet secretary and Sir Edward Heath's principal private secretary from 1970 to 1974, said, "I simply don't understand how the chief constable got himself into such a position." Some of the lines of inquiry they are pursuing are absolutely ludicrous, said Lord Armstrong. And Anthony Churchill, who crewed with Edward Heath on his racing yacht Morning Cloud, Anthony Churchill, who worked on the yacht with Heath, said, "If the police chief Mike Veal thinks it is 120% likely that Edward Heath was a paedophile, then the crew of Morning Cloud would say it is 140% certain that he was not." Mike Veal, the chief constable of Wiltshire Police, as reported on this programme recently, this very programme, Sunday View, has said, having interviewed dozens of victims, they are certain that the allegations made against Edward Heath are true. One of Veal's colleagues is now on permanent sick leave. The Telegraph are saying the inquiry is going to be shut down. I wonder what's going to happen to Chief Constable Mike Veal. Obviously, we've put out a call to him to come on this programme, but we knew he wouldn't. We knew he wouldn't get back to us. Michael Shrimpton, former barrister and intelligence expert on Edward Heath.
Ted Heath, I've never suggested Heath himself murdered any of the boys that he abused. And he was abusing boys down to about the age of 14. Other people on the boat, on the crew, murdered the boys and threw them overboard, their bodies weighted down by chains.
Where, Michael? Where was this taking place?
This was taking place in the waters around the Channel Islands. The boys were picked up from the Hope de la Ragin children's home in Jersey, which itself was an old Abwehr facility. There's a strong connection between German intelligence and Hope de Garenne. It was used by German intelligence in World War II. Heath, who was working for the Germans, is taking boys on board Morning Cloud, particularly Morning Cloud 4. There were several Morning Clouds. They were brought to him by Jimmy Savile. Savile was running a paedophile ring with the protection of the Cabinet Office, partly because the Cabinet Secretary, John Hunt, was also a paedophile. Savile and other members of the ring were supplying boys to John Hunt, the Cabinet Secretary, and to Heath, and to other senior figures.
In the 1960s, now, Michael?
Oh, no, we're going...
We're into the 70s now.
Oh, yeah, this was going on when a friend of mine, the late Vice Admiral Sir Louis Le Bailey, was Director General of Intelligence at the Ministry of Defence. This was still going on. The missing children, and for the avoidance of doubt, we're talking about dozens of kids going missing. There's no doubt that we've got missing kids. There are no bodies. The police in Jersey thought the bodies might be buried in the grounds of the children's home. Well, they weren't. The bodies have never been discovered because they're thrown overboard. So we've got several dozen missing kids. These kids are picked up from Hope de Garenne by Savile and an accomplice. The accomplice is still alive, so I won't name him. Savile and the accomplice take the kids against their will, probably, they may have offered
them. Now, you said you won't name the accomplice. Have you told the police about this accomplice?
Oh, the police know, there's absolutely no point. I'm not going to the police with any intelligence. I mean, it's above their heads, and they wouldn't be seriously. They're not going to investigate it. And even if they wanted to investigate it, they'd be stopped.
Would the accomplice be somebody who's very well known? I'm not going to try and get you to name him. Don't worry about that. And you're too clever for that anyway. Is it somebody very well known, the accomplice?
No, he isn't. His name has been made available to the police in Jersey, and it's known to MI5. But I wouldn't bother taking it to the police. The police in this country are not ever going to take child abuse seriously, not at this level. It's way above the police's payroll.
Yeah, and if they do attempt to take it seriously, well, they end up on permanent sick leave. Well, I shouldn't say that. That's not fair. I don't know if he's going to be on permanent sick leave, Sean Memory. And you have a situation in this country. You want to talk about perverting the course of justice. Do you want to talk about perverting the course of justice? We have a situation where a police force headed up by a chief constable called Mike Veal are investigating overwhelming evidence that Edward Heath was a buggerer and party to murder of young boys. Overwhelming evidence. And that inquiry is being undermined by the media in this country in the form of LBC Radio, in the form of the Telegraph newspaper, in the form of the BBC. They are giving a voice to people who knew Edward Heath. Can you imagine the mendacity of this? They're trying to determine what Heath did, when he did it, and with who. And the media are promoting friends and former colleagues of Edward Heath, who might have questions to answer themselves. Those people being given a platform to say that this is all rubbish. This is the fucking world we live in. Imagine it for a second. It is unpalatable in the extreme. It is untenable. How could a guy go about conducting an investigation while all of that is going on, while the media are allowing others who have themselves got questions to answer? Lord Armstrong, the former cabinet secretary, the principal private secretary from 1970 to 1974, should be interviewed by the police. Oh, not much of a journalist you, Richie, eh? Making accusations, eh? I'm not making any accusations. I'm not accusing Armstrong of anything. But Tim Fortescue, and don't panic, I'm not going to play the clip. Not going to do it to you. Who was Heath's chief whip? Said it was common for MPs to come to the whips because they were buggering boys. And we would make it go away because you could store up brownie points. Brownie points. You could keep that MP who was buggering small boys. He could be quite useful, you know, in the future. So I, as a policeman, would like to interview Lord Armstrong. Did you know that was going on? Did you, army old boy? Did you know that MPs were queuing up outside the fucking offices of the whips to say, please get me off with buggering small boys? Did you know that, Armstrong? Did you? Did you know that? The Daily Telegraph gives him a whole fucking page to say, oh, nonsense, this is nonsense. Edward Heath was a fine, upstanding man, a great Prime Minister. What is that doing? It is destroying any chance the Wiltshire police has of doing a credible, a fair, an impartial and an objective investigation. No chance. No chance in that atmosphere, in that climate. The Telegraph, LBC Radio and their fuckwit presenters, puppets like James O'Brien, puppets like that fucktard Ian Dale, going on the radio regularly and saying it's all a hoax, it's all a witch hunt. Perverting the course of justice is what I call it. And finally, speaking of puppets, Tony Blair was on Andrew Marr today, the BBC flagship Sunday morning programme, talking about the problems of populism and about a second referendum. This is Blair. Keep the swear jar handy.
If you want to push back against this populism, you've got to address the people with a policy agenda that convinces them you have answers to the accelerating pace of change in the future.
But a lot of the people that you say they're just the victims of populism are actually voters making completely irrational decisions. They say there has been too much immigration, my community has been changed too quickly, too fast, my wage rates have fallen, the differential gap in pay in this country has become too much, I want more control, I want stronger borders, and this is how to get it. And that is not populism, that's a rational decision.
It's a rational decision.
Yeah.
If it's true that getting out of Europe is going to solve those problems. And the issue really on Brexit is this, because, by the way, let me make it clear. There's been a referendum. That is the will of the people. If that will does not change, we'll go ahead and do Brexit. But here's the issue. If you actually analyse immigration from Europe, according to government ministers, we want to keep the majority of those people coming in from Europe. We want to keep the people who have come here with a job.
So you think Brexit voters will feel let down after it happens in terms of the immigration
issue? I think you can't tell what will happen. The government has set a very, very clear test, by the way. You know, a few weeks ago in the House of Commons, David Davis said that they were going to deliver a deal with, and I quote, exactly the same benefits as we now have from the single market and customs union. We should hold them to that. And my view, very simply, I agree at the moment this argument for many people is over. But if, as you go down this path, the British people realise three things, then I think it could change. One, that the gain is actually illusory. Two, that the pain is very substantial. And three, that the distraction of the government and the country in the meantime is enormous when there are these big, real challenges on the economy, in healthcare, education, but immigration that aren't being dealt with.
But there isn't, at the moment, a mechanism for a change of heart, as it were. Now, you've said that people have spoken. You're not suggesting, I think, another referendum, or are you? And how would that possibly come
about? I'm not suggesting that at this point. This will all depend, frankly, on whether members of Parliament are going back to their constituencies and they're noticing real pressure, with people saying, hang on, I didn't know this is what it meant.
Yeah. You see, I'm not suggesting a referendum at this point. No, what Blair is suggesting is, and there is an overwhelmingly increasing amount of coverage being given to this by the BBC and the other major outlets in this country. There is an overwhelming momentum gathering to say that this is an utter nonsense. This, we can't leave the European Union. We can't leave the single market. We didn't know what we were voting for. The young had no say. And they're rolling this guy out over and over and over again. Not just him, but others like him. Listen to what he actually said. If the will of the people doesn't change, we'll go ahead and do Brexit. Listen to this.
And the issue really on Brexit is this, because, by the way, let me make it clear. There's been a referendum. That is the will of the people. If that will does not change, we'll go ahead and do Brexit.
If that will doesn't change, we'll go ahead and do Brexit. That's a little bit... What an amazing characterisation there by Blair of what's actually happened. What happened was 53% of the country said we want to leave the European Union. But according to Blair, and he's looking increasingly smug and confident, if the will of the people doesn't change, we'll go ahead and do Brexit. No, asshole. We're going to leave the European Union. Because 53% of the people of this country voted. It's a massive, massive victory, that, in any referendum. And this is what we've got to guard against in the coming weeks and months, is allowing this sort of talk fester and grow roots in the mainstream media and in society in general. I've predicted, and I've been wrong before, and I'll be damn happy to be wrong this time, there will be a second referendum offered to the people of this country sometime in late 2018. This will gather pace throughout this year and into next year, and it will be claimed time and time again that the people have changed their mind now. We've changed our mind. We don't like the way this is going. And there will be an absolute clamour for a second referendum, and it's my prediction that late next year sometime there will be another one. That's it for Sunday View. Thanks for listening to it. I will be back with you live tomorrow Monday at 7 p.m. GMT, as always. Look after yourselves and one another and enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Thanks for listening. Bye now.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com.